Episode 4 of the Barnsley Podcast. It has been a long time since our last broadcast. I believe it was around my birthday that the last one was put out, which is December last year. It's been a fucking long time, and my apologies for not keeping up with something that we plan to be doing a bit more regularly, but it's one of the usual stories of life getting in the way. Had to change jobs and go through the whole finding a job during the end of the year thing and whole bunch of other bullshit happened, but happy to say the last few months I've managed to figure out a whole bunch of bullshit, sort of, you know, get back to a point where I've got enough time to do a podcast. And so I've got Crazy back for another guest appearance, which is awesome. The original crew back together. Welcome, Crazy.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey, Crazy.
Back again. It's been a while for sure.
And Brewer back on the controls.
Hey, Artie. How's things?
So yeah, it's been ages. So we've probably got a fair bit to talk about that's happened since then. Like we were talking about earlier, Crazy, how intense is it if you just don't watch the news for a couple of days?
Oh, dude, yeah.
And then you turn the news on and it's like, what's half of these world events that are going on that I don't know about?
Jeez, dude. I would have just missed maybe, 2 days of information, maybe a day or so, a day and a half. And just reports. Oh, it could have been a couple of days ago now, this story, but like what, Ebola virus in the States or something?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Like, dude, I just missed that in the last couple of days. And
that story's been evolving for probably about 2 weeks in the mainstream media. I think it started with some American aid workers. It started with
some African dudes getting sick.
But in terms of it hitting the mainstream media, I think it was those aid workers is the first time I heard about it. You know, and obviously, you know, once white people get infected, then, you know, it becomes a bit more of an important story. But just the fact that there was an Ebola in, you know, anywhere is pretty intense. And the part of the story that I found interesting about that was those aid workers received a serum, a new vaccine for Ebola. It's experimental. It hasn't had human trials yet, as far as I was reading. But they were like, pretty sure that it would work, and they gave it to these aid workers. I think it was two or three of them.
Yeah, right.
And last I read about it, they were pretty much not cured, but not showing any of the symptoms. Wow. And it's, you know, it's a pretty quick descent into, you know, fever and nausea and,
yeah,
you know,
sure,
body failure.
Wow.
And they managed to stop it in these people. And of course, the outrage came out that, you know, why didn't you give it to the Africans that had Ebola? And I actually read a good rebuttal was that if they had have used that serum on Africans, then it would have been, and it didn't work, like it had serious adverse effects because it hadn't been used on humans yet, then the accusation would be, look, you're using them as guinea pigs, you know, you just waited for an Ebola outbreak to happen and you've, you know, experimented on, you know, people in a country that, you know, don't know better. So I thought that was an interesting point, you know, when people were saying, you know, oh, it was exclusively for these, you know, American aid workers. Well, you know, what if it went the other way? What if it killed some people and they'd tried it on, you know, some African people that had Ebola first? You know, it would have been a bit of an issue. But yeah, I was reading also that the way that they got this antivirus was pretty interesting. What's that you've got up there?
That's inside his mouth, yeah?
I think so, man.
Wow.
There was Ebola victim was the title of Google image.
Okay.
So, yeah, I was reading the way that they got this vaccine for Ebola was interesting. I can't remember, you know, exactly how it was, but it was something about extracting blood from somebody that had Ebola and doing something with the blood, and then they created a vaccine that way, which is pretty crazy. But, you know, pretty good news that it worked, what they tried on those aid workers, like, you know.
If it's helping, for sure.
Because there was heaps of, like, people saying, you know, what are you doing flying them into the country? You know, this is how outbreaks start, is when a carrier comes in.
Yeah.
But, you know, what are you going to do, you know? You want to get them into the best medical facilities possible, and it's probably not going to be in Africa.
Well, they had that experimental drug as well, and there was, like, full limited, you know, doses available.
Yeah.
So, and then they flew them back and gave them to these
That's what dudes. I'm talking about. Yeah.
Full people, you know, all these people in Africa, you know, but I guess they've got to give them to their own citizens. I guess it's, what would you do in that situation? Would you help some... help the Africans, or would you help your own citizens first? It's a tough call.
The point was is that if they had given this experimental thing to the Africans and it hadn't worked, there would have been accusations of, look, you're using people as
guinea pigs.
You know,
yeah, I guess so.
And then if they gave them to Americans, then at least there would be some kind of, like, because they would have said to these people that they actually gave it to, this is experimental as. But like, you've got Ebola, you know?
And there's no treatment, so it's either
what are you going to do?
Or you're going to end up like our mate on the screen.
But they would have been, it would have been laid out for them, you know, look, this is experimental, the chances of it working, you know, it would have given percentages and all that kind of stuff. And they would have been medical professionals themselves, so they would have sort of, you know, they would have had been given, like, bedside manner, you know, they would have been given the reality of it.
Hats off to them. I imagine the guts it'd take to put on all that stuff and go to halfway across the world to treat people with a life-threatening disease. If you catch it, it's all over.
And I guess, you know, the people that work in that industry are...
they're all volunteers, man. They'd all be aid workers and stuff like that, you know.
Have to be in their minds, you know, that's a chance, you know, that's part of the risk
of course.
Could be exposed to the contagion, you know. That's pretty fucked up, though. Ebola's, those whole things, that whole pandemics, you know, that scare the shit out of me,
Hoffman, the monkey, what was that?
Outbreak.
That was it, yeah. Pretty dodgy, mate.
So, yeah, that was one of the topics that I found shocking.
Interesting. And when they come thick and fast, when, like, you know, multiple major events seem to happen really close to each other, there's this sense of, like, Armageddon almost. It's like, holy shit, like, what's going on? Like, you know, the world is ending, like, you know, planes dropping out of the sky, you know, viruses coming out of the, you know, birthplace of civilization, you know, terrorism ramping up hard, Middle East absolutely imploding, you know, with, you know, insurgents and, you know, ISIL and, it's an intense time. And, yeah, it feels like ever since the first Malaysian airline went down, which one was that? Was that
MH370?
370.
Yeah.
It felt like there was like a turbo button on major things going down since then. Like, it's been like, you know, really close to, you know, events happening really close.
Ukraine's still going. They were saying that there was, saw it on the news today, and they were saying that there's direct Russian troops now fighting directly Ukrainian troops. So no insurgents, nothing. It's Russian versus Ukraine in Ukraine. And then Russia came out and said, oh, they were lost and they didn't realize they were in Ukraine. Sorry about that.
Really.
Ukraine does it all the time, so it should be cool. Don't worry.
Wow.
It's just escalating that whole thing. It's going to turn bad.
Is that where they shot down the second Malaysian airport?
Yeah.
They shot it down
in Ukraine.
Surface to air missile.
And then, because I also heard that it could have even been Russian.
Well, it's unclear who fired the missile. That's all they say. So,
from what I've seen so far, it looks pretty clear that it was Russian. Like, that actual
It was a Russian rocket, yes. But Russian rockets are sold to heat to different
the
people.
Military,
right.
The military.
Right. There's these photos that came out pretty soon after, and I don't know the validity of them, but I'm pretty sure they've been like quoted as or used in mainstream press articles where they're showing this particular one that fired the missile being trucked back to Russia, and they show the like the turrets with the one missing. You know, that's not concrete evidence, but apparently this was the, you know, moments after the actual thing happened, and that it basically got, you know, rushed back over the border to Russia. Well, but yeah, you're right. It could be Russian sold. You know,
could be Russian 9/11.
Who knows?
The instigation get it to Ukraine.
It does seem like, you know, an instigation. There's also the talk about how, like, people in that area were so keen on getting any, like, cargo military planes that initially that's what they thought that they had in their sights, and that, you know, they were just like, oh, man, we got another cargo plane. Let's shoot it down. And it wasn't until they've fired that they've realised it was a civilian airliner.
That's heavy for Malaysian Airlines.
There's also, you know, talk of, like, why the hell was that path taken? And I was reading in a bit into that, and apparently one of the first things that they came out and explained about it was that an airliner can fly at about 30,000 feet, even over a combat zone, because most surface-to-air missiles don't reach that far. But then I read another article that looked deeper into that, and it was saying that that was based off reports of the shoulder holster ones, you know, like
like the RPGs.
What's a movie that uses the classic of those?
Well, Commando.
Well, not RPGs, I guess. Yeah. But, like, I was thinking, what's...
You mean, like, in Battlefield?
Pop out back, and it just makes it a bit longer.
Well, in Battlefield...
it's a one-shot one.
Yeah, you get ones that are, like, you got to keep it locked on, and it's, like, a locked-on thing. It's not just, like,
David.
A shoot and pray. It's, like, lock-on. There's ones that are called a Stinger.
Wow.
This is in Battlefield. I don't know shit.
Stinger's a proper missile, though, isn't it? That's fired from a plane.
No, it's fired from your shoulder, right? But that one is a fire and forget. So you can fire it and keep running around. It's still going to hit the target.
Right.
It doesn't do as much damage. But this is in Battlefield, I keep stressing.
Yeah.
as the other one, I can't remember what it's called, but that one locks
but
on.
Battlefield's pretty accurate in terms of like what... like, you know, weapons
know
and stuff.
I don't know about the damage and shit, though.
Yeah,
I think
the
damage is a gameplay thing. Yeah. But anyway, I think the concept. But the other one, you got to keep it in range. So if you keep it locked on, it, like, locks on to fucking aircraft shit. And they're all fired from your shoulder. And then there's all the other ones that you fire from other shit. There's, like, mobile anti-aircraft and stuff, which I bet you Russia and shit have. Hardcore.
What's happening? Again.
It's okay. It's okay.
You sure?
Wow.
I think it just happened for a sec. It's cool.
So, I'm a
freaking audio engineer, and I can't get the audio right on my own podcast. Like,
yeah,
my God.
Fascinating.
See, what people need to realize that are watching this is that, like, another reason why it's been so long since we've done this is that, with all good intentions, it does take us so much longer to set this shit up than what we think. We're like, you know, let's do a podcast. You know, crazy's coming around. Let's set up some mics and let's do it. And, like, we started doing this, like, 2.5 hours ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And the audio's still dropping out.
No, it could just be my headphones as well.
Sorry, so what you were saying is the grenade or the rocket-propelled object wasn't strong enough from a handheld.
That advice to airlines about you can fly 30,000 feet or higher over the top was because they were basing that off, the shoulder missiles, you know, and not off. And what basically they're saying is what shot down the Malaysian airliner was like, it's a full vehicle.
Yeah, it's this thing, man. I'm pretty sure.
It's a turret.
Sure they confirmed this, that this is what took it down, but they don't know who fired it. And it's a Russian thing.
Yeah. So that's, like, you know, not obviously not a shoulder equipped.
Wow.
You know,
definitely.
So therefore has a lot more range.
Wow.
And apparently they're fine with hitting stuff at 30,000 feet.
For sure. Wow, look at that.
Now, do cargo planes normally fly at 30,000 feet? I don't know.
I heard a dude, and he was saying if it was this that shot it down, that it would have been almost instantaneous, and it would have disintegrated the back of the plane if they hit the back of the plane, and it would have been like suck out the back of the plane, and it would have been over in milliseconds if they used this thing.
So, yeah.
And they pretty much confirmed that it was this that took it down, but they don't know who supplied it and exactly who fired it.
Dodgy.
So, yeah, that thing can hit things, obviously, a lot higher than 30,000. And so then questions are falling on the airline again. Why were you flying over that? And I saw, like, a map of other flights that go over that area, and it's, like, this big, like, hole in all of these flight paths that all the other airlines seem to have gone around, and this flight just seems to dissect the middle of that hole or that circle.
Interesting.
So it's like that's a bit weird. But I don't know if that leads to conspiracy or planned event or just stupidity. You know, it's one of those things that's hard to get evidence to show that. But yeah, like a lot of people rightly are questioning, you know, if there's like an extra $5 I can pay on my ticket to, like, not fly over that shit, you know, maybe you should be giving the customers options. Because that was one of the explanations that they did that route, is that it's cheaper, it's more expensive in fuel. They hit more headwinds by going that way, and you're more in the jet stream if you continue just straight over, and that it would have cost them more. And if, and yeah, I've heard people say, well, you know, how much more? If it's like $5 per passenger to divert around that shit, we would have paid that, you know. So yeah, that's pretty intense. I've read that they're gonna privatize the airline, so I had to do something.
I did see today, because they had the big Qantas lost $2 billion, I think it was, and they had like a history of Qantas, recent history of Qantas, just on graphic, and they were like, failed merger with Malaysian Airlines. Thank God, in brackets.
Qantas were going to merge?
Qantas was, and it was a failed merger attempt with Malaysian Airlines.
This would have been before even the first.
Oh, it was a few years ago now. But imagine if that had happened. It would have been along with a almost $3 billion loss. I don't think Qantas would be here anymore.
That would have been an issue. Okay. I mean, yeah, that airline's hurting now, and they're privatizing it, and it seems to me it's a poisonous asset, but I guess it is an asset that is suffered a lot of public image problems, so therefore it's probably a bargain. Somebody's going to snap it up, probably rebrand it, you know.
Or sell all the planes to somebody else and make their money that way.
Yeah. You
know, dissect it up and sell off what they can and hopefully get more than what they bought it for.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, most likely what will happen. Like, would you fly on Malaysian?
The crazy thing is that when you look at statistics, if you're the kind of person that likes to play odds...
You would have said that after the first one, though.
No, but the thing is, if you're the kind of person that likes to play odds on that kind of shit, with them having that first incident, that in itself is so rare. Like, the amount of planes that actually go down is fucking... For the amount of planes that are in the air every day, it's such a small fraction of a percent. So for the first Malaysian airliner to go down like it did, and for you, like, your odds would have been that becomes now the safest airline. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
but you would have
Russian roulette, right? And would you be more comfortable playing the next round of Russian roulette with a gun that's already fired off around, or one that hasn't fired off around yet?
Yeah, and we don't know. Like, we still haven't found the first plane, so we don't know why. No. Might not be the airline's fault in whatever sense, whatever.
That's fucking crazy that we haven't found anything. You know what? That was a moment where I'm sure a lot of people were like, it shocked my system to think how little control, like, it's something like an airliner has over their own plane. Like, I, for some reason, in the year 2013 or 2014, I would have thought there was, like, some kind of constant data connection between that plane and the ground, that it was something beyond, like, a breaker, you know? Mm. I'm checking in, you know? And when I read about it, why they couldn't figure out where that plane was, that's essentially why. Because that's the only real constant communications that's left, is voice contact and this thing called a transponder, which is just basically a radio pinger. Like, you know, it just pings back and forth at a set amount of time back to the radio tower that it's closest to. And even that's not a constant ping, you know, in terms of, like, every few seconds. It's like every few minutes or something. So there's, like, so much time where these planes are dark. The only people that know where the planes are the people on the fucking plane. Yeah, it's insane. That's and if you've ever pulled up, like, on the internet, like, there's like, world, like, flight maps that show you how many planes are in the sky at one time. And it's, like, it's insane. And when you think that all of those planes have only got that amount of communication, and they're saying that different airlines have got different technologies, and that Malaysia is probably not one that has the most up-to-date technologies. But I remember, like, there being theories. Okay, this theory actually stemmed from 9/11, from when I was going deep into the rabbit hole of all of the theories about 9/11, all the conspiracy theories. And one of the theories is that the planes that hit the towers were drone planes. So then I then started reading things about the technology of a drone plane. Like,
whoa, shit, sorry.
No, you're all right. I'll just finish this point, and then we'll check this out, because it ties into what I'm talking about. But yeah, so if people were saying that 9/11 were done by, like, unmanned planes, I was like, full on. So what is it? Is it a dude on the ground with, like, you know, an RC controller, like for an RC copter, but he's controlling a fucking massive airliner? Like, no, didn't they track those planes for ages? I'm not going to get into the whole, like, is that a theory about 9/11? But I did read about the technology of being able to control planes, right? And this is 2001. And they said back then, these articles were talking about the technology that they then had the ability for, in the case of complete human failure, like a loss of oxygen in a cockpit. And we're not talking just autopilot here, but a system kicking in that can take the plane to the nearest airport and land it. And kind of like the Simpsons episode where Homer becomes a trucker and then he falls asleep. But the truck just starts driving itself, Autotron system.
Yeah.
And apparently that already has been in planes for ages. And there's the strain? Is it the strain that has that in it as part of it, because that plane lands, the ghost plane lands at the start,
and everyone's dead in it, and I think they're talking
about how the Autonomatron machine kicked in and landed that plane.
Yeah, right.
Right? So, I thought that kind of technology in planes, they can fly themselves and shit, look, and they can then lose a plane. But just lose it. Full of people.
Yeah, you got to remember where it was as well. I'm pretty sure if they lost a plane over fucking Sydney, that they'd fucking know about it.
That's the other point.
It's in the middle of the fucking ocean. It's like usually when they're cruising, like they usually don't need to have that closer.
I know. And yeah, you're right. Maybe it's a flood of data that they don't need.
Just check in. Yeah, let's wait.
Maybe it's just too much data that to deal with.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe it's unnecessary, you know, maybe it would cost too much. Maybe in a military aircraft, it might be a different story, but this is a commercial airliner. I don't know.
Full of people. I don't know. It's weird.
You just said it. Like, there's, at any one time, there's so many fucking planes in the air.
Show the graphic.
Yeah. I think it's got some audio, but...
As you watch this, 500,000 human beings are in the sky, many of them high above the clouds in the thin air of the lower stratosphere. Here's where they are at this moment, aboard the thousands of planes that crisscross the world simultaneously. And here's how they moved across the skies in the last 24 hours, based on live data that even takes account of delays to individual flights. Each day sees a similar global dance. As the sun rises on each region, so the takeoffs and landings begin. In Asia, then Europe, then America, and then Asia once again. Only in the dead of night do the skies clear a little. Plotting all the routes flown in a single day reveals the interconnectedness of the modern world and the uneven distribution of those connections. There are dense webs above Europe, the US, and East Asia.
So yeah, that's intense. Yeah, there's a lot of... You can see where the countries that have got, obviously got the most traffic.
That's cool.
But, like, that's crazy. Like, all of that has the potential to do what happened to that Malaysian airline.
Yeah.
I guess.
The odds of something like that, like, happening. But, yeah,
that's understand. What I take away from that is yeah. that, you know... Was I lulled into a sense of false security, thinking that, you know, if my plane just disappeared into the middle of the ocean, at least they would have been able to figure out where I fell into the water? My God! And apparently the transponder was turned off, all of this weird shit came out about the plane
down in a regular situation. Well, that's the big mystery. Why didn't anybody trip something? If something was going wrong, why didn't somebody go, hey man, fuck, we're fucked up. Well, we're going down. And then that's when they go, all right, fuck, we better find out where they are.
I think the explanation that people have, the experts that have been giving for why that would happen is oxygen leak. And, you know, just
everybody passes everyone's out.
Yeah. And a gradual loss of altitude and eventually just plunges into the sea.
And that's why they're trying to find these black boxes.
But why was the transponder turned off? This transponder thing, which is like the thing that pings back, was turned off. They know for sure at the time that was turned off, or at least the last time that it pinged. And they've shown like there was a turn. There was a deviation in its flight path that they know of, but from that point there, they don't know where it's gone. And that... Because I don't know if they've lost it while it was still turning, or but that's why the search area was so wide.
It still is, and I saw today that they're bitching about who has to pay for it now. And Australia, Malaysia, and China, I think, are all in negotiations. They're like, who's going to pay for this? You know, it's still going, but and they still haven't found anything.
We were pretty, you know, gung ho straight in there. You know, it's a bit rich to. Be all like, oh, who's going to foot the bill? Yeah. You know, I guess it's for if it's going to continue, who's going to foot the bill?
It'd be fucking expensive.
Which I guess is a fair enough question, you know.
It has been a fairly long time now. It's been a few months, but
it's been ages.
I remember.
Was it
the
last
time.
Year the first one?
No, it was this year. I'm sure it was.
See,
it was
that's how intense ago. Things have been. To me, that feels like it's been ages ago.
I think it was before Easter.
That many things Easter. Happening. Far out. That's intense. That's intense.
Well, you wouldn't want to be flying Malaysia. If I was flying Malaysia, I'd be shitting my pants.
Well, by the odds, it's now the most extremely... No, I think it's done. I think people are...
It'd be cheap.
...thinking the same thing.
It'd be cheap.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It'd be a gamble, it seems. So, yeah, I've got a couple of things I want to talk about. I've got a couple of little ranty things, so strap yourselves in, boys.
I've been.
So, ice bucket challenge. You've seen this.
Man.
If you're not watching this podcast or listening to this podcast after we've uploaded it, like, you know, long time down the track, then this will probably be very old news. But it's the massive meme of the moment. The big thing to do on social media, and what a fucking hell. Unbelievable.
Good work.
I'm not editing that out.
No. Yeah, good work.
I'm not editing that out. The fucking try to exit light footed, fucking tap dancing Fred Astaire.
Twinkle toes into the cardboard. Yeah, into the backdrop. Sorry.
Yeah, so Ice Bucket Challenge. What I wanted to talk about it is what I'm finding amusing about it is the people that are actually raging against it, that have fucking got an issue with it, right? And one of the other things that they've got to say about it, the people that have got a problem with it, that I find just awesomely retarded. Sorry to use that word, but it really is. It's not normal thinking, is that, oh, go and waste water, why don't you? That's the big, you know, that's their big jab. You know, instead of just saying, this is shit and I'm sick of seeing this on my feed, they're like, ugh. And then even to the point where some are fleshing that out with the whole Africa farmers drought and stuff. Like, do I need to explain how stupid a criticism that is?
Yeah.
Okay, first thing, have you flushed the toilet today, person making that accusation? Probably have you washed your hands? Like, we all use water. Like, this thing that, like, and have you seen half of the ice bucket challenges are piss weak amounts of water. Like,
it's usually just ice in a bucket. It's like, yeah, and I fill that shit up with some water. I let it, like, you know.
There's some epic ones, definitely, but most people are doing not a huge amount of water. But my point is not, like, that these people aren't doing enough water. It's, like, to criticize these people for wasting water, for doing a little dunking over their head is ridiculous. Oh, my God. Like, it makes me want to just film my tap on for about half an hour and post it to YouTube. It really does. It's the stupidity.
Wash my car with the hose. And on a fucking hard surface.
I kind of feel like that with Gatorade when they pour it on the coach at an NFL game. I'm like, oh, that Powerade or Gatorade.
You think it's a waste?
Come on.
They always fucking, they hand dudes like a fresh bottle of Gatorade. This is what I noticed in like NRL matches and shit. They take two swigs, hand it back, and then 2 seconds later they go to another dude, get another fresh one. The amount of fucking half-drinking Gatorades and shit around would just be ridiculous.
Right? Are you talking about the ones that they like kind of hold above their mouth and squeeze in?
No. I'm pretty sure they've got water in it.
Because they're ones. Water.
They're water. But they do have Gatorades, man, at the end of the matches and shit. You always see the dudes. There's always fresh ones. It's because of the
Yeah, at the end of the match, they'd be smashing and Gatorade. But they're not smashing Gatorade mid-game.
No, like, not mid-game. It's at the end of the game.
The amount of sugar. Like, can you imagine, like, you know, the way that they like into their mouth? Like,
yeah.
They'd be having diabetes by the second half.
But that's what they usually do on coaches in NFL games, the Gatorade bucket. So I'm sure
showering,
you see all the coaches and they've got like the line of fucking water, a Coke, a Gatorade. It's fucking Jesus.
Good point, Crazy. Why aren't these people petitioning the NFL?
Yeah.
Anything, yeah.
You know, these dudes are doing a little ice bucket challenge and there's how many freaking NFL games. And that's, or is it just when they win the Super Bowl?
No, it's I don't know. I think it's
victorious.
Even still, that's a shitload of water. Yeah, and it's not just water, it's Gatorade. It's nutritious electrolytes.
Nutritious.
Motherfuckers, pick your battles. Okay, but just to get a bit more serious about this ice bucket challenge, criticism that people are fucking aiming at it. Come on, man. Like, you know what was fucking stupid was things like planking. That was fucking dumb. The Harlem Shake, remember that?
Yeah, I think it's a real fad.
Simpsons intro.
But do you remember
Simpsons intro?
Yeah, Simpsons did a Harlem Shake. Daily Show did a Harlem Shake.
Yeah.
Okay, I just thought they were stupid, but they're easy for me to ignore. I don't let it fucking, you know, I'm not going to shake my fist at my computer screen, you know, or post about it on fucking social media. But anyway, at least if there is this ice bucket challenge, there is this charity involved with it. So if you want to be a person that does it, films yourself, like, and you don't donate, you get caught. Like, that's, it's, okay, it's a payment that you make to be able to have your silly little video.
That's right.
On YouTube.
That's right.
It's there's money involved. It's not just anyone just doing
it. It's like Movember or something.
Where yeah, exactly. So if they want to, you know, post up, and it's usually not too long. I've seen some versions of the Ice Bucket Challenge that are awesomely funny. Like there's a Foo Fighters one, which is fucking a cack. Like they've done a twist on the movie Carrie.
Okay.
So instead of the blood, you know, it's the ice bucket on Dave as the like Carrie, a dress and the full thing. It's pretty funny.
Did you just see that one? It was Charlie Sheen and he does money.
I have seen that one.
Yeah. Winning. Play it.
Please, yeah. Please.
I had the vision on.
Okay.
Charlie. But, I mean, okay, so,
Sorry, just on that note, I think there were hookers behind the camera or something. Without doubt.
There's no tripod for that camera. It's just cocaine. It's just a big mountain of cocaine.
The winning song is still one of my favorites. I don't like those schmucko yo.
Winning. Is it just like the edits
smoking
from that?
Rocks. Winning.
Yeah. I think everyone's heard that.
Yeah, I don't think I need to play it.
You're right. Like, people are taking advantage of the whole fact it's a wave of
something new. Yeah, there's a payment involved. They're donating to charity.
It's a very decent cause. I don't think there's any harm at all in letting people do that. Right. And just, you know, you don't have to do it if you don't want to.
And I can understand something clogging up your feed. Like, there is certain things. Like, remember Cooney?
Who?
Cooney 2012?
Yeah.
I've got another rant about that. I'll finish the Ice Bucket Challenge rant. Okay, so just to the people that are giving other people shit about it, understand that, you know, it is this fucking Lou Gehrig's disease charity. And that people aren't able to post that meme without, you know, donating the money. So it's like a pay-to-play situation, which I think is great. If there's going to be silly memes and shit, why not have some kind of system like that, you know, to have people, you know, kick in some money? Okay, the only criticism that I'll let fly, and it's not just a criticism that's got to do with the Ice Bucket Challenge, it's just an overall charity criticism, is that charities are fucking bullshit, and the amount of money that gets donated to them is always a small percentage slice actually gets to the cause or the research in question. It's all to do with administrative costs. And I did read something today because I was thinking about this rant to have on the podcast, and I'm like, let me look at the other side of the angle. And I read some people that are criticizing it, and this guy's listed all of the executives. It was actually a company that came up with this ice bucket thing and made it go viral. Like, that's marketing in the modern times, you know. Figuring out the next viral
dollar
hit.
Dries everything, doesn't you know? It?
So these guys came up with this whole thing and started to push it. And, you know, I think the way that they really got it rolling was getting certain key celebrities on, and the whole way that you challenge three more people once you do it yourself.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if celebrities start that's like a, you know, and that's how it sort of caught on. Kind of smart, I guess, you know. But this article that I was reading did list about 15 people that were like, you know, admins of this company, and they're all on six figures, like, you know, minimum, like 150, 200K, you know, each one of them. And it's like, I'd love to fucking earn that kind of coin, you know. I don't know. It's conflicting, you know. Wouldn't one argument be, wouldn't you want somebody that's dealing with a charity that's handling millions of dollars? Don't you want to pay them pretty well so they're not even tempted to, you know, any fuckery, not to, you know, dip their hand into the pot, you know, make sure that they're paid really well so they've got no incentive whatsoever. But doesn't that then mean that if their job is paying so well, and if the money's coming in to actually stop the problem that they're administering a charity to get money to help stop, isn't it not in their interest to stop the cause, stop the problem? Because then their 200K job is gone.
Mm.
You know, and that's one of the arguments of why the Cancer Council and Cancer Research is a massive hoax. Well, not a massive hoax, but, you know, if you look at the more extreme points of view on the subject, is that, you know, they never want a cure for cancer because they've got an industry for raising money and treating the ailments of cancer, but curing cancer, that's game over for them, you know? For so sure. That's I think, if you're going to have a go at the Ice Bucket Challenge, then you can have a go at charities. And the same article had an actual pie chart of this ALS charity and how much of the money that's been raised so far is going to make it to the actual cause and to the actual research, somewhere around 23%. And they're already looking at raising a couple of hundred mil so far. So, you know, that's a criticism I'll let fly. But, yeah, people that are just going, I'm sick of seeing this shit, you know, just know that every time you're seeing that shit, someone's kicked in a bit of cash. And,
for sure.
You know, that's not such a bad
thing.
As
long as you're a hottie throwing water over yourself.
I've seen a few quality ones.
Right ahead.
I saw one today, man.
Yeah.
Oh. Give me some Tang celebrities and I'll have a look.
There's this one, I don't know if she's a celebrity, she's just some chick in Germany, but she was wearing this like bikini that was like one bit of duct tape that covered a crotch.
Oh no, come on, okay.
And then just duct tape crosses on here. That's on the nipples. And I didn't even watch it with sound on. I didn't need to. Because they always have a little spiel before it too. It's like, you know, they do their nominations and stuff.
Here we go. Sexiest girl ice buckets. Here we go. Oh, yeah.
now you got it going.
You know you want it. Oh.
So yeah, I mean, as long I would be like, I totally support what we're seeing, okay? But I hope they're donating.
That's right.
And I'm pretty sure the internet's pretty diligent on this shit.
Look at him. Just look at him.
Yeah.
Look at your hat, mate.
And talking about that, also the epic fails where usually the bucket goes flying on the back of the head.
Seen a few good ones. Yeah. Seen a few good ones. Seen ones where it's someone with a really piss weak bucket of water. See, these are the ones I was talking about where it's like pretty, like she didn't even wet all of her hair.
Yeah, it's hardly any water and hardly any ice. That's just water. That's not an ice bucket. I'm sorry.
It needs to be chunks, hey?
Yeah, it needs to be that amount of water and some ice in there.
And there should probably have been...
Oh, that's a good one. That's good. If that had ice in it, that would have been a good one.
There should probably have been some more ground rules established with it. Like, part of the video should have shown the ice going in the water, or do you want the ice in there for a bit longer to make it colder?
All right. I haven't tried it. I don't know.
You need to be challenged.
Yeah, and I need to chip in and try it.
After my whole rant about it, I'm not really wanting to do it, you know, and because of my thing about the charity part of it, like you need to research your charities.
For sure.
Not all charities are shit. There's some that get good percentage of your dollar to end cause to what you're trying to help.
Definitely.
RSPCA is not a bad one. Problem is that, you know, ads, you know, there's a lot of TV ads. Whenever you've got a charity that also promotes themselves a lot, You got to think. A large percentage of each of your dollar is going towards more promotion, which they'll justify as which gets us more money. But then, you know, it's a weird cycle. But
it fails.
Oh man!
Yes. Yeah, most of them are with like big wheelie bins.
So what's funny is if they didn't actually pay to charity. And they cop an epic fail. That's karma.
Yeah, that's karma.
That's karma right at its best.
Hell yeah.
Oh, my bucket to the face, mate.
A lot of them involve,
set up.
I've seen a few that have, like, you know, kids that are lifting up buckets that are too heavy. There you go. Yeah, so that's my ice bucket challenge rant. You know, chill out on people, you know, doing it and posting, you know, people doing it.
I wasn't aware that people were actually criticizing. How can you criticize it? It's like, come on, man. Like, if you don't want to watch it, don't watch it, you know?
I pay too much attention to social media these days. I'm working a desk job that has me needing to look like I'm working a lot. And so,
can you be planking while you ice bucket yourself? Or do they think you're weird?
You're going to like look mash up. You're going to be mash. You're going to be the meme masher.
Yeah.
You're going to plank while Harlem shaking.
Oh,
and pour an ice bucket over yourself. The triple whammy.
Wow.
Plus all the rest. But yeah, out of all of the stupid shit that the internet could do, that's one of the least things that you could be angry at. There's so much more shit that you can get angry with.
For sure.
One of them being my next little rant, and this might require a bit of YouTube searching. Have you guys seen, there's a video that's been circulating online a bit over the last week of a couple of kids at an aquarium and a dolphin's at the glass, and it's like this standoff where the kids are like, you know, kind of freaked out, like this dolphin's looking right at them, and the dolphin just starts like, you know, giving them the
like in Simpsons,
and
they're gonna rise up,
yeah, and the kids are like, oh, and you can see the dolphin realizes that he's got an intimidation over these kids, and it goes for about 3 minutes.
Hang on, let me see.
It is cool.
A killer whale?
No, it's you know what it looks like? It's a pretty low quality cell phone video.
Right.
But it looks like it might even be an albino dolphin. Right. It looks white.
Beluga dolphin?
Just open it up and I'll tell you if it's I'll know straight away.
I thought you said whale.
If it's two kids standing there. Yeah, okay, this is it.
Dolphins are very clever.
It said it was a beluga whale in the description.
They're crazy clever.
They're crazy clever, for sure.
It's not too long, the video, but...
It's only a couple of minutes.
I'll let it play, and I'll get you a...
Should I turn up the sound?
No, there's not really sound to it. Oh. You can imagine it's just, you know, people at a...
Wearing a little shit, kids. I bet you.
I'm pretty sure this is the same video.
Said playing
with kids. So people that are listening to this and not seeing any vision, what would you put into YouTube?
Oh, shit. Oh, there's a dolphin and it's full, like, opening its mouth at the kids and full scaring it. Oh, and, like, shunting at it. Oh, man, that's full aggressive. Whoa.
Oh, it is being a bit aggressive.
Whoa, man, I'd freak seeing that. Oh. Whoa. Oh, look at the little dude, man. He's loving it. He's like, come on, bring it, man. What do you got? Oh, yeah, bitches.
Pretty hectic.
Oh, man. It's going to jump out at you fucking and consume you.
Look, it's pushing its head right against the glass, getting a good eye in.
He wants him. He wants that little kid. Yeah. He's like, yeah, tasty, man.
Okay, so it is a cool video, but...
Well,
it's not fake, is it?
No, it's not fake. It's not fake. But fuck aquariums that have big fish like that in them. You know, seriously. And, like, there was this massive outrage. Remember the Blackfish documentary? Came out probably about a year or two ago.
Blackfish?
I haven't seen it yet because I'm that sensitive about that kind of shit. Blackfish, one of the chicks, there's a chick that was in Home and Away that was in a Transformers movie. Am I right?
Yeah.
Is it the chick that replaced Megan Fox when she got fired?
The one that I watched on TV the other week. Yeah. The British one or whatever.
I think she's like in this documentary.
She's pretty tan.
Yeah.
And it's all about SeaWorld and the practices of fucking keeping
orcas and shit. And when she gets like that episode.
Huh?
And she tries to free the dolphin. Hits her in the face as it's going over, like Free Willy.
Yeah. Well, it's more about the mistreatment and what they have to do to keep these animals in captivity and make them perform and shit. And apparently there's heaps of footage of like really bad cruelty. Apparently there's like another one, I think it's called The Cove, where it's like somewhere in the Philippines or maybe Asia or somewhere. I haven't seen these documentaries because they sound gnarly, like where they are fucking killing dolphins, like they're leading them into the shallows and just like killing them for fins and shit. And like those kind of documentaries came out, and there was massive outrage, and there was a big push against SeaWorld, and there was a looking for a while there that SeaWorld in America were going to have to call it a day, and there's this big outrage. And I don't know, it just came to mind when I saw that video, and was like, yeah, it's kind of cool, like, but fucking those aquariums that have those big fish in them, man, that's like that's fucked up. Like you say, they're stupid smart, those animals. There's the latest episode of Radiolab podcast that came out, and it's all about the research that scientists have done over the years of trying to establish a language between humans and dolphins. Had this big story about this woman that basically lived with a dolphin. She was in this like setup that was like a room that had half of the ocean come up in it. So this dolphin could just come in and live with her.
Oh, wow.
And she lived with this dolphin for 9 months. The spoiler of the story is, and it's, you might have heard of this urban legend, which actually doesn't turn out to be an urban legend because she confirmed on the podcast, they interviewed her, this woman. She would be jerking off the male dolphin.
Are you serious?
Yeah, she was, and she copped so much shit for it.
And so she should. Man.
Hang on. Let me finish.
What a twist.
Dirty bitch.
Here's the thing,
that's
right?
That's her thing, man.
And that's the instant reaction people had, and that's actually essentially, and other reasons which are very interesting to do with like LSD and ketamine, not her, but her boss, who was a fucking massive drug freak.
He loves it. Look at it.
Is this actually her?
I don't know. I think I just typed in woman lives with dolphin. I'm guessing.
Okay.
It could be. It could be. I don't know. It was just an audio podcast.
Well, where's her hand?
Okay, let me explain. Okay, so she copped heaps of shit for it, and it became the only thing that she really was known for, you know, and did some other pretty cool research, like a, you know, story about the other not part of the 9 months was awesome. But when, and they didn't try to harp on it, but they said, look, do you want to talk about that incidents, you know, of, you know, some
jerking
sexual,
off a
dolphin. Well, see, the other thing was that I heard the urban legend as that she used to let the dolphin fuck her. So to hear firstly that it was just hand relief, firstly was a different thing that I was originally led to believe. And then secondly, the way she explained it, she's like, look, you know, I was there trying to do these exercises with him, trying to get him to, like, you know, press buttons or learn languages or give me, you know, signs that we understood, you know, and stuff like that. And after a while, male dolphins are super horny creatures. They just are super horny creatures, like, in the wild. Like,
right.
It's crazy. Like, the male dolphins will kill female dolphins' babies if they're not his, because they fuck so many different female dolphins, it's most likely that some of her kids will be his. And therefore, female dolphins act like complete sluts and fuck as many dudes as they can so that there's less risk of them running into a male dolphin that they haven't fucked. It's not that they'll have his kids, it's that the male dolphin will recognize that he's fucked her and think, oh, maybe one of her kids is mine. There's a chance.
Wow, okay.
So
dolphin's horny. Wow.
Long story short, very horny male dolphins. And she was like, we had work to do, and he just was humping my leg. He just would not stop. And we were trying to get this work done, and it just got to the point where I was like, you know what, I'll just take care of this. And just hand relieve him. And she was like, he was fine after that. We just got straight back to work. And when you hear it explained like that, it's like, it's a fucking scientist trying to get science work done. And the way that this, the way, just that headline of scientist whacks off dolphin she lives with 9 months in underground, underwater apartment.
It's still
you're like, what the fuck?
Weird.
It is.
Man.
It like, is. It is. Fuck? But interesting. And I'm.
Why not bring in another fucking dolphin and say how they go at man, it, and then we'll get back.
Cattle breeders. Cattle breeders. Like stud Hereford breeders. They jerk those motherfuckers all day long into vials, and they're like, you know, don't waste a drop, kind of shit. But you know, because that's worth fucking tens of thousands of dollars for a good fucking. You know, it's different. Yeah.
So,
well, I still think that's gross. You
the,
know?
The research is based on his jerking off, or they have to relieve him so he can control himself.
The whole thing was trying to establish a language between them,
right?
But the point I was bringing up because of that podcast and because of this, I thought that that aquarium video is shit because I hate aquariums that have dolphins and big killer whales and orcas in them. Is part of this podcast was talking about how. Once the dolphin got comfortable with being with this woman, some of the weird behaviors. There was one thing where she would be like, he would get in moods. And when he was in a mood that he didn't want to work, he would just sink to the bottom of the area that, you know, that had half water, half where she could, you know, be. And just like bite on a foot, like, but just hold a foot in his mouth. And just like kind of like somebody would be holding somebody's hand and just stay down there as long as he could. And then he'd come up because like dolphins don't breathe water, they breathe air. So he's just got to come up and take a big breath and just sink straight back down and just, you know, hold a foot. And she said there'd be whole days where he'd do that. But the thing that I found fascinating was that the dolphin was fascinated with her legs and her knees. And it would always just want to just check out her knees and like, she said you can tell when he's like just looking with his eyes or when he's sonaring because they'll you know send a sonar out because they can see with sonar and the spin out thing was is that they were saying that when a dolphin sonars a human it can see your internal organs and your bones with that sonar pin.
I guess it's like an x-ray.
Wow. It's crazy, hey.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, but it's also got vision, normal vision. Probably not the same kind of vision that we have. But it's
brain
got,
works and it probably melts
so it can
the
like,
two
yeah,
to, get the, to it, let them
it's
see.
It's another data stream for them. So they're like looking and then they're like, and this whole different vision that they can add to what they've just. And she said it would just be so fascinated with her knees and her legs and it would like. The back of the knee and like want to see how it folded as a joint.
Wow.
And when, and I thought about that and I'm like, because that's what it doesn't have. It wants to figure out how the fuck we got out of the water and we can walk on land.
It's trying to figure something out. Wow.
It's like, what the fuck is this appendage, man? This is the one thing I don't have. And it's fully sussing out, sonaring it, and looking at it, rubbing it with its nose, pushing it with its nose. Like, that's an intelligent creature, man. And you're going to put it in a fucking tank for little kids to get all fucking, ooh, let's fucking have a standoff fucking stare off with this fucking, oh. I'm getting on a high fucking greeny horse there a little bit.
I agree. I think it's fairly cruel to take somebody from a natural habitat. The other side of their argument, I guess, is are they better off? Are they going to... Would they die?
Nah.
Have
not
they been
dolphins,
rescued
nah.
and shit to...
Nah.
You know?
See, zoos...
I don't agree.
Zoos and shit I think are bullshit as well. But if they were solely a sanctuary, a genetic sanctuary for species that truly would be fucked in the wild unless we had them in captivity, then I think that's all a zoo should be.
Okay, and then, well, what about... How about we take it to the other extreme? And I kind of always felt this a little bit, owning dogs and stuff.
Mm.
Are we, like, caging up the dogs for our own pleasure
amusement?
Or do they want to be there? That's the other question.
But the modern dog is not a wild animal.
We developed.
It's so far from it. It's been genetically manipulated.
Or human.
And, like,
but like
it's like eugenics,
like you can see
selective
it. You can
breeding.
You kind of see it in, like, dogs' soul. Like, it should be out in a plane running around doing
he
whatever
likes,
the
he likes
he
a
he
pack.
Wants.
Dogs
you know,
like packs.
And are we taking him out of that for our own amusement slash pleasure?
Bunny?
Isn't that the... bunnies,
bunny.
Cats, whatever.
Yeah.
Isn't that the same type of thing?
Yeah, any animal?
It's an interesting
Probably.
Question.
My,
I don't know if
maybe
I
not a dog.
Not.
Maybe not a cat.
I wouldn't
cat.
Want to give up my dog.
Maybe not a dog or a cat. I think that they, like, to quote the great Joe Rogan podcast that talks about this heaps is that all dogs, all breeds of dogs, all can be traced back to wolves, and not that many generations ago. It's amazing the different amount of breeds and different sizes and kinds of dogs there are, and that all came from selective breeding from wolves that originally started as being the wolves that were brave enough to come up to humans and start scavenging food off the humans. And then over time, those wolves learned that this is an easier food source than hunting, and they stopped learning as much of the wild instinct of hunting and started, and the ones that would be breed together that were doing that would then pass on that genetic trait to the next generation, and then they would become more placid and more reliant on the humans, and the humans realized that they could tame them more easily and use them, utilize them more. And that has gone on for, you know, a long time to lead up to, you know, the Cocker Spaniel, you know.
And then they are man's best friend.
Oh, animals are cool.
If you were to say to your dog, look, go, be free. You know, he's probably going to get in the car with you and come back home with you. You know, like.
But your point about should some things just be wild and free? You know what a pet that I've always had a problem with? And I've seen some cases that are worse than others, but just birds in cages, man, as pets. Like,
or like reptiles. I always kind of thought like snakes and stuff. Like,
yeah, that's kind of a silly, unless you've got like a full setup area for it. But people that have like a fucking boa in a fish tank with a light bulb, you know, that's fucking crazy. And they always end up fucking realizing that that's a mistake and either getting rid of it in some stupid way by just letting it off in the local bush, you know.
And then there's that really dodgy show with all the dudes that fucking go and pick them up, and they're like, "Oh, snake!" And it's like they're driving around for 6 hours and they find a snake, and it's like, yeah, let's make a TV show out of it.
Yeah.
So, but it's like justifying that kind of
stuff. I used to have a mate that used to work in a fucking mechanics in a smash repair place, right? And
you'd get heaps in cars. Like,
what's that?
Snakes? Hidden in cars?
This story doesn't involve reptiles, but I'm sure you would.
Is that the sequel to Snakes on Planes?
Oh, shit, man.
I'm so goddamn sick of these motherfucking snakes in my motherfucking pickup.
Just trying to do my job. Come in the morning, I'm all drag. Oh, shit.
He had this fucking smash repair and mechanics place, and it was this massive floor garage area, and it had this big-ass fucking rickety old metal roller door at the front, and the place was always packed full of cars getting worked on. There's always at least two or three being revved to the full tilt. Like, they're testing something. And right at the front, right next to the fucking crusty, loud roller door on a concrete floor in chicken wire was a fucking cockatoo.
A cockatoo.
A massive motherfucking cockatoo. I used to always look at that bird whenever I used to go over there and just feel so sorry for that fucking bird. Not just the fact that it was stuck in this tiny cage, but the noise it had to deal with all the time, and the fucking, like, fumes. Exhaust and shit. Like, you know, they send canaries down the coal mine for a reason, because they got a fucking way smaller lungs, and fucking they suffer from that shit way before we do. That cockatoo fucking copped it, man. Like, it was there for years. I knew the guy fucking years, and I used to try and like go stand next to the cage and, what am I gonna do for you, buddy? I don't know what I'm gonna do for you. I want to get my head beaten in. There's no way.
What are you doing, mate? With my cockatoo.
So that's my fucking dolphin vid rant. Like, yeah. Like, it's a cool video. Like, if you were those kids, that would be a cool experience, you know? But you know what? There are some experiences that you shouldn't just be able to buy a $12 ticket to take your little fucking kids to see. Like, a lion. The lion is meant to be in the wild. We've got amazing HD cameras, and David Attenborough, to go out there and get some of the most stunning footage of these things in the wild. I don't see the need to go see one that's just so depressed in some fucking, you know, facility. Yeah. So that's that little rant there.
For sure.
Shit, I'm really going off tonight. I've still got more. Okay, so yeah. my next little complaint rant is about fucking public toilets, man. Fucking terrible. So I'm working a new job, and it's in a massive, massive company. There's a lot of fucking people that use the same bathrooms. And, you know, Louis C.K.?
Yep.
He's got an awesome routine. Fuck it. I laughed so hard when I heard it because it just resonated. He talks about how he goes into a public restroom in an airport, but he's got his two daughters with him because his daughter needs to, like, you know, go to the bathroom. And he's like, you know, does this have to happen now? And she's like, yes. So he has to take both of his daughters into the men's bathroom and goes into a stall and, you know, has both of the girls in the stall and is, you know, trying to sort out his daughter. And he's, like, talking about, do you remember this bit?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
This guy's, like, comes in next to him. And he's just like, it sounds like he's emptying a jar of pennies into the toilet, just shitting, like, right next to us. He's, like, right there, and he's just shitting. Oh, man, I'm struggling. Like, you know, we all got to deal with public toilets, but, you know, what it's like, you know.
You're talking office block building. There's not a public toilet, so it's like office. The public toilets are even fucking worse. They reek of piss. And
but this is like this. It's well-serviced toilets.
Yeah,
they're well-serviced toilets.
The office toilets.
But it's we're talking a shitload of people. Like the amount of people that use what would be on my floor. I think there's five like stand-at urinals, and there's a shitload of stalls. There'd be at least 15 stalls, but there's would be at least 200 or 300 people.
Oh shit!
That use that bathroom, and you're never in there by yourself. You're never in there by yourself, and wow. You know it's the usual thing, and I'm guilty of it as well. Who wants to get into a stall right next to another person? So it's like you know, sometimes it's like every second one is taken, so there's not like a, you know, one with two available, you know, and
wow,
it's at work, man. Like you know. I'm a big coffee drinker, and coffee tends to get my system. Like I'm pretty regular. Like I'll have my morning break, and I'll have my cigarette and my coffee at my morning break. And I've sat back down at my desk after my morning break, and I can almost time it like 10-15 minutes after I've sat back down after that morning cigarette and coffee at my first break. I need to use the bathroom, and. So I'm always using the bathroom at work. That's just like the routine. And it's obvious that, you know, there's a fuckload of other people that have the same, you know, routine because it's always so busy. And I'm like, you know, I'll go in there and sometimes I'll sweep past there 2-3 times. And I'm like, you know, guts are like, come on. But if I go in there and it's fully like full of people, I'm just like, I can't. I'll come back in like 10 minutes. Come back in 10 minutes and I'll find a stall. And as I said, it's pretty well serviced, so it's not like it's a messy public bathroom that reeks, you know, and they've got those auto scent squirters. But I'll sit there and without a doubt, this will happen. Just like the Louis routine, Mr. Frickin' Loud will come in. Now, sometimes he'll be actually on his phone.
Oh.
As he's in a conversation, conversation has started outside of the bathroom. It's come into the bathroom, and it's you can hear him coming into the stall and closing the door, still talking on the I'm still here. It's like, dude, and it's the stall right next to you. And I've scoped this out. I know there's another four stalls across the way that you could have taken, not next to me, but you've come right next to me. I know I'm being precious, but god damn, it's like...
Join in.
And it's not like I get performance anxiety. It's just disgusting, man. And yeah. Super loud, so, you know, if he's not on the phone, it's like...
Sometimes they're like parts of their pants, when they put their pants down, comes into your stall. And yeah. You can fully see shit. Like sometimes like their phone comes out of their pocket and a hand comes down the neck. What the fuck,
what
man?
Stalls are you walking into? Hands come in under the bottom. What?
But yeah, fully loud and like, you know, making sure that you can hear everything. You hear the belt. Yeah, I don't know what it is, but I try to make minimal noise. Like, I don't like when I go in there. I don't want to be broadcasting shit. It's not
like when you're
shit.
At home alone and you just, like, let it open up. You kind of reserve.
Oh, just that act of, like, taking your belt off and shit. It's you know, just to have a bit of decorum.
Yeah, I reckon. You know, it's with just style.
In your face, you know.
Some people just don't give a fuck.
Yeah. And they sit out and... The biggest farts. Like, there's no...
They're like splattertrons.
There is a way that you can not fart that loud. I know there is, you know, and it's like... I missed a part of the equation. The freaking heaves. So these dudes will heave. And then, then the pennies out of the jar being tipped in. It's just like, man, this is so thirsty.
Oh, man.
This is so good. Oh,
it's a good concept, the toilet, but very ambient. Like, it's a bowl of joy because the sound just rebounds and reverberates.
I know, and you know, it's... I know that there's people probably listening to this going, what the fuck am I meant to do when I shit? I'm not fucking Mr. Dainty, you know. I'm going in there and I'm going to enjoy myself, you know.
Get my shit done and get out.
I can't fart in the office, so, you know, can't I fucking at least let one rip when I fucking go into the fucking men's bathroom? Yes.
If you're going to do it, there's probably one place to do it.
I understand all of this, but it's just, oh, man, just sometimes. And it just feels like I'm being targeted. It feels like there's people waiting for me to go into the bathroom. It's like, that dude's in there. I'm going to go in there and do the loudest, sloppiest shit right next to him.
I've been saving it up. This is going to get like an 8 on Rate My Poo. I'm going to unleash it on him.
Oh, and I know it's a terrible subject, but it's been bugging.
Well,
it's been
bugging me. Do remember when I was a manager at a supermarket and I had to manage people with this type of stuff, and we had one bathroom with one stall, and I had to come in the morning and I had a big night, and dudes came up to me and like, man, you got to come and see this. So I went into the store and it was everywhere, all over the store. And they were like, oh man, the dude from the deli, man, he was in here. And I looked at the tapes and everything. And yeah,
he came in
and he was the only person that had gone into the bathroom.
Was it was it distributed? Did it look like it had been distributed directly from his butt? Or it had to have been picked up and thrown or smeared?
I don't want to, you know, generalized, but he was Asian, okay, and I think he was
squat.
Yeah, I think he squatted on top of the toilet,
yeah.
And it's gone everywhere, and he hasn't cleaned it up. And then the next person's come in to do their business, and they're holy shit!
So, even if you're squatting, like you're still pretty much pointing down. Like, wouldn't you have to deliberately
if he sprayed?
Or would he have, like, maybe you lost his balance right at the moment?
I don't know, like
a hose that you're not holding the end of properly.
I didn't really want to ask. Yeah. You know, it's not really. It's a pretty delicate situation. I had to just go up to him and go, oh, look, man, was this you? And he's like, yes. And I had to make him clean it up.
Okay.
And then I told the store manager, I wasn't the store manager, I told the store manager, I think he got counseled for it, but, you know, you got to think of other people they're going to be using, especially when there's one stall.
Yeah,
you
know? And my complaints aren't just that these bathrooms are particularly messy, they're pretty well serviced, it's weird, it's like I'm back in boarding school. And I saw some pretty crazy shit in the bathrooms at those boarding schools. That was communal living at its worst. Like, you know, dudes in high school sharing bathrooms is
for sure
pretty gnarly. But yeah, I don't know what it is, but yeah, it's something about having to do it every day in such a crowded environment.
Yeah. It's uncomfortable. It's very uncomfortable.
That sounds pretty heavy. Yeah. Mine's not that bad, but it does.
Like, there's some offices that you'd be able to scope out when it'd be a quiet time that you could go to the bathroom and try and time yourself. For sure. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
But other public toilets, yeah, I've walked into some
Some of them you can't walk into. It's so thick, the urine or whatever, the urinal cake smell.
Yeah.
it's too much. No, I can't.
The urinal cake smell. Okay.
It just smells like urine.
Smells like lemon. I can't come in here.
Damn that lemon.
I've been to flooded pubs, like you walk into a place in a club and the toilet starts off well, but, you know, come 2-3 o'clock, that toilet's been hit by a couple of hundred people. You don't want to do nothing. They just go in there, do your business, not even probably flush the toilet because you don't know what people are just spraying everywhere. You just want to pee because you're drunk. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's another public toilet.
Nothing beats Festival Portaloos, though.
Oh, it's everyone's an animal, bro.
Dude,
everyone's an animal.
The big day out, your sound waves, those. Oh,
yeah.
God damn! You need to kind of time your day to try and avoid it if possible. It's the ones that, you know, and I haven't been to many, but there's, you know, festivals that are like multi days, like camp there for like a couple of days. But the only facilities for the whole time are Portaloos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that gets pretty gnarly. Like,
sure.
Yeah, all of the festival vegan food, all of the lentils.
Not good.
Wow. Anyway,
yeah. Okay.
What else are we going to talk about? That's all of my rants. I feel much better. Thank you for listening to that.
That's all right.
makes me feel
good. I'll think of some rants for the next one.
Yeah.
I'm sure I could go off.
Like I was saying before we started the podcast, just have some kind of way that you can access something that you can write a note down, some kind of app on your phone, or even just like the built-in notes of your phone. I find that good for, you know.
Also comments and shit as well. If we get any comments, you know, suggest shit as well that we can discuss or
the podcast has surprisingly gotten quite a few views the first couple of episodes, which, as I was saying before, were from quite a while ago. We've gathered up quite a couple hundred views, which is pretty cool, you know. We really didn't expect anything, so thanks for people for watching it. We've got a couple of subscribers on YouTube, which is great. Also want to give a shout out to a couple of friends of mine, a couple of guys in a band that I worked with a while ago that have also started their own podcast as well.
Oh, awesome.
And their podcast is called the Mac and Cheese Podcast. And it's Andy Mack, who's the singer and guitarist in a band called Kang, pretty cool punk band that I did some recording with probably about a year ago now. And they just do audio, so it's no like video and stuff. It's just an audio podcast. In fact, I think they just do it straight into a phone.
Oh wow!
I think they just do put a phone like on a pillow.
Fun.
And that's raw.
Crouch around a pillow.
That's raw.
I can't remember how many episodes they're up to, but they've done quite a few. Like they're starting to do them regular. Like I think they're up to like at least 10 or 15 episodes, and it's a pretty cool podcast. So yeah, I might put a link underneath this to their podcast, and a shout out to the guys for just doing it, you know, starting a podcast. They talk about like weird news and like stuff in science, and they're cool. Into like you know, pop culture, comic books and that kind of stuff. It's an interesting podcast. Okay. Yeah. Now what they've figured out, which I want to figure out with this podcast, is they've got they're just audio only. So I want to figure out just pulling the audio off our podcast and having that available for people.
Be fairly simple.
And with that audio, doing an iTunes feed, which apparently is pretty simple. There's a lot of people discover podcasts or add their podcast downloads to their podcast playlist in their iTunes. Mm. And you can set your podcast as free on that, so that, you know, they just add it as a subscription, and then whenever you upload a new episode, it's like auto sync for them, so they you know, don't have to seek out the episode. They're also the Mac and Cheese Podcast have figured out for the last 2 or 3 episodes I've seen there on Stitcher.
Oh yeah.
So I'd like to figure out. We'll figure that out. We'll put the audio up on Stitcher as well, because that's the app that I use for all my podcasts.
Well, if we get, you know, enough followers and stuff like that as well, we could always look at, you know, doing a live stream as well. We could do like a Ustream.
Yeah.
Also Twitch as well, which is another avenue for that type of stuff, which works pretty well. Not sure if Australian internet is up to the task.
I think that we could Ustream.
Yeah, Ustream should work, I'd say.
Yeah, and yeah, we essentially do this live, but it's just that we don't do the actual uploading of what we do live, but it's recorded live. And I'd like to get a live stream happening, because yeah, if we get some people that want to, like, you know, we can have like a Ustream chat box going or something like that. That'd be cool. But yeah, we'll figure out some more options for that. And I promise that this will be much more regular as well. We're going to... I know that content is king in the podcast land, and just, you know, keeping regular episodes coming out is the key. So there'll definitely be some more episodes coming out soon. So
get some, like, more segments and stuff, some more regimented segments.
Yeah. I mean,
third time lucky.
Last times we were doing, like, you know, some games reviews and movie reviews, and they don't have to be like, you know, hard set segments.
But like, you know,
what's been on,
the usual stuff that we'll talk about.
Well, we didn't get around to it this time, so, you know, we can build it up for next.
It was interesting. I've learned a lot from scientists masturbating dolphins to to public toilets. Yeah,
interesting.
Cool.
All right. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and we'll be back soon.
Thank you. Getting high on a Monday night, screaming it tells down the gods.